Lukewarm Christianity, what does it look like? Well, good morning, everyone. It is certainly good to see all of you here. I know that if you're like me, you're always looking forward to Sunday. It serves a purpose to help us not only glorify God and to remember His Son, but to restore our focus and to think about the past week and the challenges that we've had, and to look forward to the week that we're about to encounter and to provide us with the thoughts we need to regain spiritual balance and be able to serve God and be warriors in His kingdom. I just glanced at the bulletin a few moments ago. I didn't have a chance to read the article, but it looks like there's an article on restoring our focus. And I'm excited to read that article, and I hope you'll take a moment to read it as well. It looks like it's going to talk about the great work that God has blessed us with and allowed us to do over the past 7 months of this year. And so I look forward to reading that article and hope that all of you will. And if you're visiting with us today, I think if you read that article, it will provide you some thoughts on our mission from a standpoint of what we're trying to do as a congregation. And certainly want to thank God for blessing us and for the elders and their guidance, and to each of you for your hard work and all that we've been able to accomplish in His name in the first several months of this year. If you heard earlier, and I'm sure you did, Ken Welliver, our normal evangelist, is out of town today with his wife, Norma. So if you are visiting with us for the first time, I do encourage you to come back and hear him present the gospel. He does an incredible job for us, and I know that you would find value in hearing him teach the gospel and also spending some time with his wife, Norma. We are so blessed to have them as a part of this work, and I do encourage you, if you have an opportunity, to come back and listen to Ken teach and also to spend some time with Norma. Lukewarm Christianity, what does it look like? This morning, I'd like us to take a moment and talk about some tendencies that could be a caution sign to us that we might be drifting towards becoming lukewarm Christians. I want to be very clear, the intent of this lesson this morning is not to discourage anyone, but it is safe to say it could push some of our spiritual buttons. I will tell you, as I put this lesson together, I was humbled. It was very tough for me to proceed with this topic. And so the intent of the lesson this morning is for us to look at some of the tendencies that a lukewarm Christian has and to assure that we have an awareness so that we don't stumble and fall into that state of mind and spiritual service. As I put this lesson together, there were two things that really helped me develop my thoughts. First, Leslie gave me a book called Crazy Love by Francis Chan. I will tell you, I'm probably ashamed to admit this because it shows how narrow-minded I am, but I don't know a lot about Francis Chan. What I do know is in that book, there's a chapter on the lukewarm profile. And a lot of the thoughts that he shared in that chapter, we will talk about this morning, but we're going to look at scripture to determine what the Bible says about being a lukewarm Christian. And then if you're here on a regular basis and you are hearing Ken teach the class on stewardship on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, it's an incredible class. I mean, it's just spectacular. So if you haven't had a chance to participate in that, I would encourage you to come and listen. Ken has done an excellent job in helping us understand that stewardship is more than just about the financial resources that we are blessed with. He's helped us to see that stewardship is about everything that we manage on behalf of God. And so one of the things I thought we could do this morning as we look at the lukewarm tendencies that we could fall into if we're not careful is to tie it into some of the stewardship principles that Ken has been sharing, and that will provide us with some thought on how we can prevent ourselves from going down the wrong path. And then I would tell you, at the end of this lesson, we're going to share a couple of verses that will tell you what being a Christian is all about. So if there are some things in here that make you feel a little discouraged, hang in there at the end. We're going to share why all these things should be positive motivators to you and me, and we should use them to help us serve God at a higher level. Kel read for us a few moments ago, Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. And the last part of verse 16 says, "So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." Now this message was to those in Laodicea. And if you think about this message for a few moments, it can be somewhat unsettling. It kind of gives us a preview of what God thinks of us if we become lukewarm. And so as we discuss the topic this morning, there are several questions that I want us to think about. First, the question is, has our relationship with God actually changed the way we live? Do we really love Jesus Christ? Are we constantly thinking about Christ? Does Christ drive every aspect of our lives? The decisions that we make, how we interact with people, how we plan to live out the rest of our lives that God will bless us with? Or do the words half-hearted, lukewarm, and partially committed describe more of who we are? So keep those thoughts in your mind this morning as we go through some passages and look at some things that we have to be cautious about from a standpoint of serving in the kingdom. If you have your Bibles this morning, you're welcome to turn with me to chapter 18 of the book of Luke. Chapter 18, we will be reading quite a bit of scripture today, so if you've got your Bibles, I do encourage you to turn with me. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9, Jesus is teaching in parable, and he says, "He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up in the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed, 'Thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice weekly. I give tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted.'" So you have a Pharisee that's praying to God, and he's praying and thanking God that he's not like other men. What is he doing? He's comparing himself to other men. And then you have a tax collector that prayed and he asked for mercy. And so when you think about this, what can we draw as a conclusion that could tell us that we possibly might be knocking on the door of becoming lukewarm Christians? Well, lukewarm Christians sometimes have a tendency to gauge their morality, how good they are, what type of servants they are in the kingdom of God by comparing themselves to other men like the Pharisee. Now, I'm not here to imply that this morning we shouldn't look at the work and the great things that our people are doing here in this church or anywhere else and not pay attention and be motivated and inspired by those things. But the caution is, if you really want to compare yourself to someone that can give you a benchmark of how you and I are doing, who should that be? Absolutely. It should be Jesus Christ, which leads me to talk about stewardship principle number one, and that principle is called the who's in charge principle. God, as Ken has told us, is the owner of all things that we're blessed with, not just the financial resources. And since God's the owner of all things, that means he's the owner of the lives that you and I live. The very fact that we are living this morning, we are breathing, we are here, is a blessing from God. Therefore, we're called to be stewards over the lives that he's given us, and we need to serve him accordingly. And so, to ensure that we don't fall into the trap of becoming a lukewarm Christian, if we want to evaluate how we're doing and benchmark ourselves, it should be by looking at Jesus Christ. And so, don't let yourself fall into the trap of comparing yourself to a man or a woman. Because you know what? If you're like me, you always have a tendency to compare yourself to someone that you're probably doing a little better than. And that's easy. We start to rationalize. We start to make excuses. And so let's be mindful of that and compare ourselves to Jesus Christ. In the book of James, chapter 1, in verse 22. James 1:22, it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once and forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Be a doer of the word and not a hearer. Lukewarm Christians have a tendency to look at others, and they are inspired and motivated by the great things that other Christians are doing. There's nothing wrong with that. If you see someone doing something and serving valiantly in the kingdom, Nothing wrong with us observing that and maybe patting that person on the back and encouraging them and saying, great job. However, the caution here from a lukewarm perspective is, if you are a hearer of the word, if I am a hearer of the word, and we never become a doer, that's a sign that we're knocking on the door of becoming lukewarm. Lukewarm Christians sit back and they watch, but they never take action. And so the question for you and I this morning, are we taking action, or are we merely just observers on the sideline? Stewardship principle number two is called the give and grow principle. This principle talks about stewardship produces growth. If you and I want to grow and serve God at a higher level, then we have to act. We cannot only be hearers of God's word. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Lukewarm Christians sometimes have a tendency to choose what's popular rather than what's right. When we're faced with conflict and decisions, lukewarm Christians see two options, and we have a tendency to choose the option that makes us feel good, that is popular. You know why? Because it's a human tendency to want to what? To want to fit in, to be accepted. And lukewarm Christians are focused more on fitting in and being accepted, and they care more about what people think of their actions than they do in making the right decisions that God wants us to make. In Proverbs 14:12, it tells us there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Those popular decisions many times could lead us to death. It could put us in the state of being lukewarm. Stewardship principle number six is called the who's first principle. First, we must give ourselves to the Lord. If we are giving ourselves to the Lord first, when we're faced with decisions, it will be much easier for us to choose what is right according to His word than to choose what's popular. And so the question is, are we giving ourselves to the Lord first, right down to the decisions that we make on a daily basis? Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Matthew 28 and 18. This verse is very familiar to many of us here today, and it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is a tough one. It is for me, I'll tell you. And there are a lot of people that are better at this than I am. But I'll tell you, in studying this, I figured out I'm just making excuses. You see, the lukewarm Christian rarely shares their faith or the gospel with their neighbor, their coworker, their friends. We don't want to be rejected. We don't want to create an awkward situation. We don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable because we talk about the one that we believe in. And at work, it's a tough situation sometimes. There are a lot of consequences that come with talking about Jesus. But when you think about the life of a lukewarm Christian, they choose what's popular that we talked about a few moments ago instead of choosing what's right. And so stewardship principle number seven is called the cheerful attitude principle. And this principle talks about stewardship begins with loving and not giving. If I were to take an informal survey today and ask everyone to raise your hand if you love God, everyone in this auditorium is going to raise their hand and answer yes. So the question for me this morning, and maybe yourself, is if you are going to tell the world that you love God, then why aren't you telling the world about the one that you praise on Sunday and Wednesday when you come here to say that because of His love and giving His only Son, that we've been freed from sin and we're going to have a home in heaven? Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But it takes a lot of courage to choose the right thing and to talk about God with our coworkers, our neighbors, and our friends. Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through 4. Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on." As I mentioned earlier, Ken's done a tremendous job in the stewardship class telling us that stewardship is more than just shepherding the financial resources. When you think about the life of a lukewarm Christian, they give money to the church. Some even give individually to charities out in the community, which is great. But the key to this is lukewarm Christians give as long as it doesn't impact their standard of living. And so for me this morning, I have to ask myself the question, have I given in a situation where it really makes it tough for me, where it puts my back against the wall? Stewardship principle number 9. It's called the river principle. Our life is like a river, not a reservoir. You think about all the things that God has blessed us with, not just the financial resources, some of the talents that Paul talked about this morning as he stood in for Ken and taught his stewardship class. Everyone in this auditorium has some type of talent that you're blessed with. And God wants us to be like a river, exactly what Ken told us a few Wednesday nights ago. He wants all the things that he blesses us with to flow in and flow out in his name, and for us to use them to glorify and serve him. If we are taking all the blessings that, quite frankly, we ask for, and we're holding them in a reservoir, and we're never letting them flow from us back out and letting people know that what we have today has nothing to do with us, but it has all to do with our God and Father in heaven, then I will tell you that that is a caution flag, and it signals that we're toying with lukewarm Christianity. Turn to Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Lead the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Pretty clear, if we're going to follow Jesus, we just got to follow him, right? We can't make excuses. We can't think about what we need to take care of from a standpoint of the world we live in. We have to follow him. Luke chapter 9 that we just read is very sobering, because what it tells us is that lukewarm Christians say they love Jesus, and he is the focus of their lives. However, the reality is, in the life of a lukewarm Christian, Jesus often winds up only being a part of their lives. They dedicate a few moments of their time, a few thoughts in the day. Maybe it's a week, maybe it's a month, and some of their financial resources that have come from the Father himself. Stewardship principle number 6 is called the who's number one principle. This principle said that God deserves the first of everything that we have. And if God deserves the first of everything that we have, and we're being the type of stewards that we are to be, there's not going to be a question as to whether or not we follow him. We're just going to do it. We're not going to say, like it was said in Luke chapter 9, that, "Wait, let me go take care of this first, and then I'll follow you. If God is first in our lives, we follow Him first. And in following Him, He helps us determine the direction that we should take in all other aspects that we encounter here on earth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 47. Verse 43 says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Lukewarm Christians have a tendency to say they love others. But when it comes down to it, lukewarm Christians love themselves more than they love others. In addition, if a lukewarm Christian is going to love someone, they choose those who it's easiest to love. They choose their family members, their closest friends, maybe their closest coworker. And if you think about it, when you love these type of people, and I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, we should. Those are the people that are most likely going to love in return. So the passage that we just read, Matthew chapter 5, says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." We want to serve God. We want to be good stewards. We're going to love those people that are strangers. We're going to love those people that we don't know. We're going to love those people who absolutely make us furious at work, at your children's school, the person that cuts you off in the middle of traffic. That's who we're going to love. Lukewarm Christians take the easy way out. They love their family members. They love their best friends, the people they have things in common with, where the relationships are secure and tight. If I want to stretch myself and you want to stretch yourself, then try loving a stranger or a coworker that absolutely is like nails on a chalkboard, or someone that you know nothing about, someone that you've never met before. That's what being a great Christian is about. Stewardship principle number 3 is called the do it now principle. Stewardship deals with our present resources. As we talked about a few moments ago, we all have resources, meaning talents, that we can use to love everyone. And so the question is, are we utilizing those talents, as Paul talked about this morning in the stewardship class, or are those talents going to waste? The last example this morning is Matthew chapter 23. We'll take a look at this example and then we'll read a closing scripture or two. Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 through 28. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and help the plate. But the inside, they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You are like the whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." This is a tough one. It is for me. It's easy for me to walk in here on Sunday morning in nice clothes and to smile once in a while, and I probably need to work on that. I don't smile enough. But it's easy to walk in here and appear looking good from the outside, not swearing, not drinking. You know, but the question is, what's in my heart? What's in your heart? There are a lot of people in the world that look good on the outside, right? And so is it enough for us just to look good on the outside? What did we just read here in Matthew? It's about the outside and the inside. The inside of that cup has to be clean. And if it's not clean, then I challenge you to ask yourself, and for me to ask myself, are we much different than anyone in the world? Stewardship principle number 10 is called the who has who principle. Until God is in control of my life, I'm out of control. If you want to know if God's in control of your life, if I want to know if He's in control of my life, forget about the exterior appearance and ask yourself about the interior condition of your heart. Ask yourself about some of the things that we've talked about this morning. Benchmark yourself against Christ and ask yourself, how are you doing? And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. This morning, it's examine ourselves to see how close we are to knocking on the lukewarm Christian's door. And so I promised you that we would end on a positive note this morning. And all the things that we've talked about, I hope, like myself, that it's given you some things to think about. I can tell you that I confess now I've fallen short. I've sinned. I ask God to forgive me and all of you. But 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 and 10, these are the verses that will tell you why we should take everything we've talked about this morning and use them as motivation. Don't become discouraged. You have an opportunity. And here's why. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. I would be surprised if anyone this morning could say that on all the points that we discussed that you are perfect. I'm not. But the beauty in being a Christian is what we just read. If you've been baptized into the blood of Christ, you are walking in the light. It was only probably 10 or 12 years ago that I heard a lesson on this at a gospel meeting, and it finally clicked with me. And I'm glad it did, because before that, I was like many Christians. I came to church, checked a box 3 times a week. Outward appearance looked good, but I wrestled. I was like, am I really going to get to heaven? And then I heard someone tell me really what walking in the light means. And what it means is that all of us are going to fall temptation and have some tendencies like this. But the key is whether or not we are aware and whether or not we understand that because we're baptized into the blood of Jesus Christ, we can ask for forgiveness of our sins and know, as we just read, that He will forgive us. And so don't be discouraged. Let this motivate you to see that you can serve God at a higher level. We went over 8 different things this morning. It's impossible, if you're falling short in all 8 areas or just 4, for you to turn the clock and tomorrow to do well in each one of them. Pick one thing. Pick one thing that you know that you can do better at and go do it. It's possible if you trust in God and you ask Him to help you. And so this morning, if you are a Christian and you're really, really lukewarm and you need the prayers, the elders will lead us in that prayer. They will pray on your behalf. And as soon as they do, God will forgive you because of what we just read. And that is the beauty in the gospel. That's what hope is about. That's what peace is about. Knowing that if we have sin in our life and we're striving and we're serving and we continue to fight, we can pray and God will forgive us. And if you're here this morning and you've been studying your Bible or you're just now starting to learn about God, the question for you is, are you walking in the light? The answer to that is you will be when you are baptized into the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is what it's all about. I hope you have enjoyed thinking about these thoughts this morning. And I hope that each of us will think about restoring our focus and understand that if we can protect against becoming lukewarm Christians and continue to act with a sense of urgency as we try to change the focus and the purpose of this church, as we serve each other as individuals and as a congregation as a whole, that we will make progress because God will allow us to do that. It's exciting to know that as a congregation, as individuals, that tomorrow we can be better than we are today. Not because of us, it's because of God. It's because we're walking in the light. It's because we constantly are thinking about our relationship with God. If we think about the tendencies of a lukewarm Christian, then I promise you it will stay close to our minds. It will be embedded deep within our hearts. And each one of us can try each day to serve at a higher level. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation of the Lord and you want to continue to fight and you want to serve at a higher level, but yet you need the prayers of this congregation, and as we mentioned a few moments ago, if you've never been baptized into the blood of Jesus Christ, I would challenge you not to wait any longer. And when you leave this building this morning, be able to say that you are walking in the light. Why don't you come while we stand and sing?
Would you be free?